Blog Talk Radio. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening. You are listening to the Better Living Daily Radio Show. My name is Karen Bemis. I am your host. And today is February 18th, 2016. And I apologize for the noise in the background bit. Forgot to print out my notes, so quit doing that right now. Oh, someday, what can you say? A little crazy, so we'll pull those notes off and we'll get to it, because the title of today's show is My Creative Process, and that can be an interesting place to be sometimes. There we go. So now I've got my notes and I'm ready. So anyway, last minute stuff, trying to get it all done and keep moving and all that good business. So anyway, the whole idea for this particular show, blog post that'll go up later, all that good stuff, came from a creativity boot camp that I am part of that started on February 1st. And early in the month, we were tasked with, well, every day of the month, we are tasked with creating something. And sometimes that's just creating a really nice meal for our families if we're really, really busy that day. Some of us are writers, some of us are painters, some are sculptors, some work with metal, some work with fabric. It's really a fun mix of people. It's fun to watch people all over the world and how different their processes are, and in some cases how much alike our processes are and how we think. And It's so much fun to be a part of this community. And I am truly in awe of the dedication of some of the creative people in this boot camp and their ability to focus for hours at a time sometimes. I am amazed at how they can stick to one thing until they finish it. That consistency and focus on one project is how they succeed. And it works so well for them, but that particular process does not work well for me. And I think it's because more of the ADHD situation we've got going on, and one of these days when I've got an extra $1,000 laying around, I probably ought to go have that just so I can say, yes, I have a diagnosis. But like I said, for those of you who've been around for a while, you know I have a son that has been diagnosed, and that apple did not fall far from the tree. So anyway, for me, having a single goal, it's boring. It's bordering on torture for me. And even worse, if I do find something that will hold my focus like that, I can do it to the exclusion of everything else, which means everything else can fall apart. My home, my relationships. That doesn't work for anybody, so we kind of try to stay away from that thing that's that consuming. And believe me, I am not saying their way is wrong, because it works for them. It's amazing what people can accomplish. It's just that type of focus either eludes me or it overtakes me. And I need to find a different way for me. Now, some time ago, I met a man on an airplane, and we were talking about our families, and within a few minutes of meeting people, sometimes if you've been around people with ADHD, you know, some people we say, oh, they've got ADD, just because they're high energy, but there's a difference. And you can tell when somebody has it if you know what to look for. And I kind of do. So I'm sure the divine intervention was at work that day, because I was really worried about my son at that point, because he wasn't doing well in school, and he really didn't seem to care that he wasn't doing well in school, which was even more concerning. Because he doesn't like school. He never has. And that's hard for me, because I loved school. I loved learning, and I loved being at school. Now, granted, that was long before I could learn from the internet. The only thing I had was books, and I read like a mad woman when I was younger. I could read, you know, a book a day if I was really interested, which is to this day is why I don't read fiction, except in the summertime when I can stay. And actually, I don't usually read it now unless I'm on vacation, because if I get into a good book, I'm not putting it down. I'm just not. So I'm better at it. The older I get, the wiser I get, the more I realize I've got to get some sleep. But, you know, I was really worried about my son's future, because he just didn't really seem to care. And that's hard. And, you know, my husband wasn't that way in school. He really didn't like school either, but he's the baby of nine. So he had a pretty competitive nature at that point. He just wanted to do better than his siblings. So that was what drove him to excellence. So, you know, the one thing that eluded me always was long-term projects, but, you know, that's a story for another day, pretty much. But as I was telling him about my children, and he asked about my youngest one and whether he had ADHD, I said yes. He asked me if he was medicated, and I told him no, and he told me not to ever medicate him. Now, I need to put a disclaimer out here, for sure, because I have friends whose children have benefited hugely from medication. It has been a game changer for them. And I know other adults that the same thing has happened for them. I am not against ADHD medication. I'm sharing this because my son can't be medicated because of his medical condition. This is a part of my life. So I'm always looking for insight, for strategies, for new things that could possibly help them that don't come from me, because, you know, he is almost 16, therefore outside influences can sometimes have a little more clout. But, you know, all of the doctors that he sees are in agreement that medication is a no-no. So this man was basically a godsend for me to have to sit and talk to for a couple of hours while we're on a plane. So please understand, I'm not saying no meds. I'm just saying no meds for us. And this man told me that he had been recommended for medication, but his parents refused. They opted out of it. And he struggled through high school. But as soon as he found something that he loved, he became very successful. Now, what's interesting is he's so successful that he has two homes. One in my home state of Ohio, and one on Sanibel Island in Florida, which is a pretty exclusive community, pretty expensive homes. He also owns and runs five businesses, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five businesses. And he said that he's convinced that most business owners who own multiple businesses have some form of ADHD. And they need that variety of multiple businesses to hold their attention. And just a quick hello to Anne. I see that she's popped into the chat room. I've been having some chat room issues. That's why I want to say hi to Anne and let her know I know that she's there. Because the last couple of weeks I've had something where it's kind of mirrored and it's hidden my chat room from me. I thought I was in there, but I really wasn't. So I just wanted to let Anne know I see you. And I'm really glad you're here. Thanks for joining me. But anyway, this gentleman said that the two keys to his success were that he loved to learn and he had an incredibly organized personal assistant who helped him stay on track. And I love the way he explained this. He explained that, like, each of his business was like a finger on his hand. And he would travel up the one finger. And I'm showing you while I'm telling you, just so you know, so you can have a visual. But anyway, he would travel up one finger working and focusing on that business and having a great time until his assistant reminded him, oh, this other finger needs some attention. So then he heads down that finger until she reminds him this other finger needs attention. And I thought that was such an amazing analogy. And it made me start to understand my son's obsession with YouTube and TED Talks. And he does love to learn. He loves to learn visually. He loves to watch videos. And this man assured me that my son would be just fine. As long as he had a desire to learn, as long as he was heading in a direction that could take him somewhere, which was really cool to hear. And knowing that my son is now watching TED Talks, which show successful people sometimes who are just like my son, which is really great. You know, he's starting to see that there is work to be done. There is a direction that he can go. And it was one of the most positive experiences I've ever had about my son. But it also helped me to understand myself a little bit. Because I began to understand why so many of the coaching styles and systems out there that were life-changing for other people didn't work for me. And I started to understand that while some people can be incredibly single-minded and fixed on a straight goal, and that's what drove them to success, they could just zoom straight ahead. For people like me and my son, that is torturous. It just doesn't work for us. You know, sometimes you have to do it. You get backed in a corner, up against the deadline, and I also know people who say they work better under pressure, so they wait until then. I've learned since, you know, the more I learn about this interesting brain situation, if you will, that it's an adrenaline rush. And that adrenaline rush is what helps them to focus. Well, it's the same thing as taking stimulant medication for a lot of people with ADHD. The stimulus of the adrenaline helps you to focus. Adrenaline processes a little differently for us. You know, it does. It makes me very focused. I am in a crisis. I am on point. I am right there. And I fall apart afterward. But while that adrenaline is pumping, I'm right there. I'm constantly right there. So, anyway, try to understand why these other, you know, why some systems didn't work for me and some do. Because some days, like everybody else, I really do have decent focus. I can get through my daily routines with minimal effort. The day seems kind of automatic. It's amazing to me when those days happen. They're not huge, but they do happen. I've also developed some habits that now, you know, anybody, once you've got habits, everybody has habits, whether they're good or bad, we've all got them. And as I started developing better habits, life got a little more automatic, which can get boring for some people, but if I can get the boring out of the way automatically, then I can go on to the fun stuff. So I focus especially well when I have something to do or somewhere to be, either in the afternoon or the evening, because that gives me that deadline of sorts to keep me focused. Thursdays are usually a great day for me. Assuming I have at least something written down. If I have to try to do the blog, write the whole blog post, and do the radio show, it's very stressful to try to get everything done. But this morning, I had most of this already written. Most of my notes were already written out. So I could get done what I needed to get done around my house, get my shower, spend a little time relaxing, set up the radio show, you know, things like that. I still have the deadline to keep me focused, which allows me to walk away from things like Facebook when I need to. But, you know, it seems like when I have days like that, everything kind of lines up so I can get things done. Now, a day without commitments can be far more challenging for me. I love them because when I don't have to leave, then I've got all day to focus on things that I need to do, especially if there's things that I've procrastinated, things like that. But a day without commitments, the time can slip right through my fingers because I wake up with this grand plan, and before I know it, because I don't have a deadline, it's noon, and the day's just it's slipping by. There's TV, which I try not to turn on until after I pick my son up from school. There's social media, which is always there if we want it. There's texting, there's, you know, messaging, things like that. They're great distractions when I want to let the day completely slip by. And it's maddening sometimes because all of a sudden you look up, it's 2 o'clock and you go, oh God, I haven't done anything today. But knowing that's part of my makeup is comforting now, because now that I know that that's part of who I am, I know what to do about it. And it's so simple. The people dismiss it. And my great adaptation tool for getting through days like that is a timer. Isn't that crazy? I have learned that 15 minutes, I can do almost, it's amazing what I can get done in 15 minutes. It's amazing what I can get done on a single day, on a set of days, over a month, over a year. It's the positive that I can make on my life has been so huge, I can't even begin to tell you. It's how I learned to clean my home. It's how I got rid of the clutter in my home. Still got ways to go on that, but, you know, that's an onion thing, I think. It's a layer, and so it goes, and a layer, and so it goes. And Ian understands. You know, I think there's more of us out there than people want to admit, to be honest with you. But, you know, those of you, again, who've been following me for a long time, it's how I keep my kitchen table clear. And if you know me, you know that's kind of the touchstone for the rest of my life. As long as I can keep that at least mostly cleared, my life is mostly good. I've written and published a book this way, and I intend to write and publish several more, including one that should be ready to go to the editor by the end of this month. I started compiling the manuscript today, getting all the different parts together, or yesterday, sorry, and I'll continue on that today. And I know it's an unconventional and weird way to live, been a lifesaver for me. And, you know, I've wondered why it works, but I watched a video yesterday by a man named Darren Hardy, who used to be the publisher of Success Magazine. He is super successful guy, and he is one of those more conventional kind of author, speaker, mentor. He's an expert on productivity, and that's what this particular video was focused on, was focused productivity. And he talked about how focusing for 90 days on anything can change your life forever. And, you know, Anne, who's in the chat room, I can kind of, she certainly can understand that because she is I don't know, are you up to 2 years yet, Anne? But she's been writing a haiku a day for a very long time, and they're fantastic. And she can attest, they're not all, as she says, they're not all winners, but, yeah, it's something that she has done, and now she does it regularly. It's become kind of a habit for her. You know, this whole 90-day thing, it talks about how, you know, spend all day for 90 days doing something and it can change your life forever. Now, there's a time I would have stopped listening to that man at that moment because it just would have been overwhelming for me to think about putting a whole 90 days towards anything. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I run a household. You know, to put your life on hold for 90 days, it just doesn't seem like you can do that. Okay, since January 1st of 14, so she's 2 years into this haiku a day. That is awesome. But smarter than I used to be. So I kept listening to what the man had to say. And really, it is all about focus. And he talked about, you know, 90 days of focus. But it's the same principle for people like me, but in 15-minute chunks. 15 minutes for me is magic. Wow, 776 haikus. That's amazing. You know, at first when I told my husband about this 15-minute idea, he was very skeptical. He supported me because he's a great guy, but honestly, I don't think he held that much hope. I had tried so many things at that point. But he's convinced now because there's been this transformation in our home and in me in ways neither one of us could have dreamed. I'm happier and calmer because I don't feel obligated to spend hours on a Saturday cleaning my house or doing anything for that matter, cleaning out the garage, cleaning up the basement, writing a book. I can transition from one task to another so that I don't ever seem to get bogged down and angry with things that bore me and things I'd rather ignore. And I can address those things easier that I would rather ignore because I only have to spend 15 minutes at a time instead of diving in until it's finished. We have a huge drawer that was full of old papers that needed to be purged. And I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. But I committed while he was in Dallas last year to spending 15 minutes a day on that drawer. And it was done in 3 days. 45 minutes. Now, I know myself well enough that if I had sat down and tried to do it all at one time, it probably would have taken me at least twice that long because I'd have been resistant and complaining and a witch. But I didn't do it that way. But I could really focus for 15 minutes, got it done in 45. It was crazy. It was really crazy. I know this doesn't work for everybody, but it works for me. And if nothing else is working for you, I say give this a try. You know, currently, this is how I'm painting my kitchen and writing 2 books. And I had recently taken a few days off because I mentioned last week I had a flare-up of Bell's palsy and the medication did me in. It was really making me feel bad. But, you know, I'm back on track. And last night we finished the kitchen ceiling, which, oh, man, did that feel good. Now, we spent an hour doing that, but I had help, so that makes it a little easier. When I've got the husband there to help, it's always easier. When I have anybody there to help, I'm a people person. So if I can have somebody help me with something, then I can extend the focus a little bit longer. You know, there's no rush in my kitchen. I will be doing, today I'm working on one of the windows, and I wiped it down before I came in here, and it'll be dry by the time I go back out. And so I can touch that up and paint it up, and it'll look nice. And I'll do the other one tomorrow, and I'll do something else today as we go along. And as long as it's finished by Easter, I'm a happy girl. But, oh, my goodness, we are closing in. About 6 more minutes left. But, you know, I once read that people procrastinate and resist starting something because they're perfectionists or because of perfectionism. And I laughed at the time because I thought, if anybody ever saw my house, they'd know for sure I was not a perfectionist. But you know what? That person was right. Because I had this idea that if I didn't have at least 2 hours to clean my home properly or perhaps perfectly, I didn't have time to clean. When I would spend hours cleaning like that, then I would be this like exasperated mess the minute somebody messed something up. You know, the minute the bathroom got a little messed up, the minute the kitchen got a little messed up, the minute somebody put something on the dining room table, you know, it would make me crazy because I'd spent hours making it look beautiful. And it didn't make for a happy household at all. But what I found was if I spend 15, 20 minutes a day, guess what? Those messes don't take but a minute to clean up, maybe 15. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you have to clean up your messes. And I say, time yourself. And when they figure out that cleaning up after themselves only takes 5, 10, 15 minutes, the same thing. Your resistance kind of evaporates. You're like, this is not, we're getting all, getting your shorts in a bunch over, you know what I'm saying? Good enough becomes norm. And you chuck perfection out the door. And yeah, I agree. And I think we were sister separated at birth. Same thing happened with my writing. When I first started the blog, everything was excruciating because I wanted it to be perfect. And I was so worried about being judged and criticized. And, you know, these days I'm more aware that even if I write what I think is the perfect post or the perfect set of notes for a radio show, somebody won't like it or they won't agree with it. They hear something different than what I feel like I'm saying. And while I never set out to upset or offend anyone, it still happens. And, you know, I only hope that when people know my heart, they know that everything I write comes from a place of love and just wanting the best for everybody. That's one of my affirmations, you know, that we support everyone. And I feel that way, you know. I'll call you out if I think you're being a, you know, something. and I have called people out, but they know I love them. At least I hope they do. Not everybody realizes that, but, you know, I can't be responsible for everybody. I can only be responsible for me. And you know what? This week, because of that magical timer, I have moved forward on my two books. I've kept my house tidy. I've learned more about technology and social media, which that was a hard one because that's a bit of fear for me. I get a little overwhelmed by technology and social media, and you could spend all day learning about it. You really could. But I have a new resource in the form of a future daughter-in-law who is really well-versed in that, and she walked me through some of it today. I had a meeting with somebody else about something else, and I faced my fears, which was awesome, and just little bits at a time. Many days I've used the timer to move forward, and some days I used it to tell me when I can stop so I can move on to something else. I have the timer to move me forward when I'm unfocused. I have my creativity boot camp to move me forward when I'm uninspired. I have the Better Living Daily Facebook page, my blog, this radio show to help me connect and share all of this stuff that I'm learning with all of you. And, you know, it's not perfect. No system is. But right now it's perfect for me. And this boot camp ends on February 29th. Thank you, Anne, for the congratulations on the future daughter-in-law. It may not be perfect, but it's perfect for me. And the boot camp ends on the 29th. And I'm hosting Easter at my house on March 27th. And I'm thinking I might do kind of a March Madness challenge on my Facebook page with updates in the blog and the radio show. And just to help me and whoever wants to join in getting themselves moving in March toward our best lives. So stay tuned for details. But until then, it's time for me to go. I hope you have a great week, great day. Thanks for being you. Have a good one, everybody. Love y'all. Bye-bye.